Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, this is Ralph Bergeron, and we're getting started a couple minutes behind schedule. We're going to work on getting Holly connected in a minute. Bear with us. And on tonight's show, we have a couple guests. We have from Dog Boxer, Lance Foreman. He's the owner of the brand and has a long history in MMA. And we also have Tommy Montoya, who was scheduled for last Thursday's show. And we have Montoya, thanks to Ella Holly Yargo. We're going to be trying to connect with any second now. And Rich Bergeron again.
You have reached the voicemail box of
Ella Holly Yargo. Not working out quite well. We will figure it out eventually. Try it one more time here.
Have reached the voicemail box of
Hello.
You can hear me now?
I can.
All right. We are live now. We have two guests that you brought on the show for tonight. What do you know about these guys, Holly?
Lance Foreman, the former boxer, kind of professional sparring partner back in the day. He was the former fight recruiter for Ken Shamrock. He actually helped me get started in all of this. So yeah, he's kind of special to me that way. He's no longer with Ken Shamrock. They're still good friends, and they work together from time to time. But he now has his own company called Dog Boxer, and they're everywhere. They're all over the U.S. and Australia and Thailand. He's got fighters everywhere. And he's also in partnership with an organization called Fight Church. In fact, he shares an office, or office building anyway, with the original pastor or whatever for Fight Church. I'll have to explain that better. And then Tommy Montoya is a Lion's Den franchise owner and dog boxer. His fighters fight under the banner of Dog Boxer, and he is also a Fight Church pastor in Corpus Christi, and in fact, an area of Corpus Christi, Texas, called Flower Bluff, that has one of the best seafood restaurants ever. And if I go to Texas to meet him, that's where I want to meet him at, is that restaurant.
Okay, well, clips online of this Fight Church, but for our listeners who don't know, what do you know about Fight Church? What is it?
You know, they'll have to explain it because it's kind of a new thing to me. I know that it's kind of like a thing that, Lance had started a long time ago. He had started an organization called Mingus Ministries, and it's basically a ministry that serves people who are in combat sports, or really anybody that's in any kind of extreme sport that might not normally go to church or might not have some resources, whether they're churched or not, but some resources, because, you know, fighters, when they get started, they don't make a ton of money. So they just, they help these guys out, and it's, I think it's a pretty good organization. But it's still new to me, so hopefully between Lance and Tommy, they'll be able to explain it better. But Dog Boxer, that's what I'm sure what Lance is going to be talking about the most. So this is just really exciting. This is kind of his dream come true, and knowing him since 2007, I'm really happy for him, because this is something he's been working on for a really, really long time.
Right. And what do you know about Tommy Montoya?
Tommy is, like I said, he's owns one of the Lion's Den franchises in Corpus Christi. Through that, he also runs a fight church. And then his fighters, when they go out for competition, they fight under the banner of Dog Boxer. So it's kind of complicated. Tommy will have to explain it better. He was trying to explain it to me on the phone the other day, and he was kind of losing me. But
does he tell people, "My name is Tommy Montoya. You killed my father"?
Nobody should.
Well, did you get a chance to see, I know you saw the pictures, but did you see any video of the Strike Force fights on Saturday?
I didn't. You know, I have a day job, and unfortunately they prefer me to, you know, do the stuff they pay me for instead of watching videos, but I didn't. But the pictures that you sent me were pretty amazing. So that girl, she just likes to fight.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey.
She came out of kind of nowhere, but you know, the media loves her. She gets quoted for all kinds of stuff. She picked the right enemies. She went after Kim Kardashian, and you know, if she fights, like, there's no tomorrow. She grabs that arm and it's over. But
well, she markets herself as kind of a mean girl, and when you see her pictures and everything, she kind of has that mean girl look. Like I was telling you before, she looks like she wants to beat up the other girls in school for their milk money, you know, that kind of look. And she's probably very, very nice, but she knows how to market herself, and she's marketing herself kind of like Tito Ortiz used to do, you know, marketing himself as the bad boy, and she's marketing herself as kind of the mean girl. It's sort of brilliant, actually.
Right. Yeah, now there's all kinds of talk about her fighting Cyborg, and Cyborg's still suspended till who knows when, but
I think it's hysterical.
Get around that.
It's funny that this came as such a shock that Chris Cyborg was using enhancers, whatever.
Well, let the record
show.
Like,
man,
it says it was a supplement, which is the standard excuse.
Right. Well, whatever. It's illegal. I mean, that's what Sonnen said. It was a supplement. I didn't know what was in it. Well, the rules say that you're responsible for whatever goes in your body.
If she's telling the truth, it's a weight cutting deal. You know, it's not like a muscle performance thing. It's just strictly to cut weight is what the substance is supposed to be good for. So she was having a tough weight cut, and you know, whether she took it on purpose or not, you know, she took some of the stuff and lost
mm-hmm.
weight.
Yeah.
So she's saying she won't go down to 135, but Ronda Rousey says, "Come down to 135 and I'll fight you." And that whole song and dance, that's going to be, you know, back and forth in the media for a while. But
mm-hmm.
it's the thing with so many feeder leagues and minor leagues, you really don't have anybody else for her to fight right now. Unless Gina Carano is out of retirement.
That's too bad that she's retired. I guess, is she like doing movies now or something, or is she coaching somebody, or?
Yeah, I mean, she pretty much just decided, you know, the movie business is going to pay more. She did actually have a pretty decent first movie. I mean, who in their first movie gets major belly like that? She's pretty much.
I saw it. She's pretty badass in the movie. The movie was actually kind of cheesy. But her fight scenes were awesome.
They altered her voice, I heard, so that was kind of weird.
I heard that. I heard that they didn't like her voice, so there's a lot of scenes where they altered it. They thought she sounded a little manly or something.
Kung Lee did some movies and came back, so we might see her back eventually. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But nobody ever saw any of Kung Lee's movies, so. Yeah.
I saw one. I saw he was an extra in one. It's kind of funny. But anyway, looking ahead, of course, we have the big September 1st card, John Jones versus Dan Henderson. What are your thoughts on that one?
My thought is, I love Dan Henderson. I love him. I don't think he's going to win. He's an amazing fighter for his era, I guess. You know, there was a whole group of people that could not beat him. John Jones is a whole other animal. He's fast. He's athletic. He's a little showboaty, but he can back it up. I mean, he showed that against Lyoto Machida. And I really think that there's going to be a rematch between John Jones and Lyoto Machida, because Lyoto Machida gets the winner of this fight for the title shot. So I think we're going to see that rematch.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because Chael Sonnen's bumped up to 205 now. We're going to take this Forrest Griffin fight seriously here. We got him up at 205, and he's obviously going to try to make a title run, so eventually he's going to have to fight one of those guys whoever wins, and he won't fight Dan Henderson because they're in the same team, so I don't think they ever fight, but he'll definitely fight Jones, and he's really the only one, going to be the only one left if they really have to do that rematch between Lyoto Machida and John Jones. I think John Jones is going to win. I've seen him in action actually in Foxwoods before he got to the UFC, and I didn't even realize it until I had looked back after the fact and realized, I looked up the win, and he was like one of the quickest wins of the night. Just came out there and hit the guy with like a spinning back fist, and it was over.
Well, I mean, there was like a few fights ago, I don't remember which UFC event this was, but there was a few fights ago, John Jones is in a parking lot somewhere, and ended up chasing down a purse snatcher or something, beating the crap out of him, and, you know, maybe hurting his leg a little bit or so he says, or whatever. And then, you know, he came back to the UFC to, you know, take a win. He had two fights in one night. The guy, he's pretty amazing for a fighter. I mean, he impresses me a lot, and I don't really like showboaty fighters, but he can back it up. I was kind of on the fence about him. I was like, well, whatever, you know, maybe he's just not getting a good enough competition, until he went up against Lyoto Machida, and all that showboating, you know, is not going to work on Machida. It's not going to faze him at all. He's so methodical and like a machine, and John Jones just made him look like, you know, he was still coming up in the ranks, and that was impressive.
Actually, I read somewhere this week that John Jones is actually not interested in a Machida fight. I don't know if that means it's not going to happen, but the fight doesn't interest him, whatever that means.
Well, he should be interested, because Machida's being cocky, if that's what he really thinks. Because if he thinks, oh, well, you know, I clumped Machida last time, and now, you know, it'll just happen again, that's ridiculous. Because Machida's really, really good. And if anyone could best John Jones, it could be Lyoto Machida. He didn't do it the first time, but he's a fighter who learned from his mistakes.
Right.
And he doesn't make the same mistake again.
We'll see. I don't know. I thought against Bader there, he seemed to be relying all on timing and just reach primarily. He spent a lot of time just kind of moving around the ring and waiting for his shots, and John Jones won't let him do that with all his kicks and elbows and knees. I mean, Bader just was coming at him with 1-2 punches and hooks. And he just walked into a punch. I mean, kind of reminded me of Forrest Griffin versus Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
The gym. But, I don't know, he didn't really impress me as much as he probably should have been trying to impress people in that fight. It's just his style wins out against a lot of people, especially people with shorter But there's nobody that's as dynamic as John Jones out there right now, except John Jones and maybe Anderson Silva, but they won't ever fight.
No. And I, I'm kind of losing a lot of interest in Anderson Silva. Maybe it's got a lot to do with he's just been the champion since 2007. It's just time, to move on or whatever. But he seems to be bored with it too. Like, you don't really see I saw his enthusiasm and his passion whenever he fought Chael Sonnen the last time.
Right.
Because that was personal. But, like, whenever he fought Damian Maia, it was just, there was nothing there. And he wasn't fun to watch, and he spent almost the entire fifth round running away. And, that's no fun to watch. And he's supposed to be the champion. If he's not interested in the sport anymore, move on, retire.
You tell him, Holly. If you need an agent, Holly is available.
That's right.
So who is expecting our call first, Tommy or Lance?
They are both expecting a call, and I don't think that either one of them is expecting a call first. It'd probably be best to get in touch with Lance first, because he knows a lot about Tommy, and he would be a good segue to Tommy. He would be able to explain who Tommy is.
Now that I got Tommy Montoya lined up to call, you tell me that. All right. Got another contact. All right. So, what about the other MMA news this week? Is there any
I didn't hear you.
Is there any other MMA news this week you're aware of?
Well, yes. Dana White is kind of, maybe this is a little bit old, he's kind of hoping that, and this is no big news, but Matt Hughes retires soon, because, well, quite frankly, Matt Hughes needs to retire. But he's also hoping that Forrest Griffin will retire, and I was kind of surprised to hear that, but...
We discussed this on a previous show, and I did a whole article on this, telling Dana White to STFU, shut the fuck up, because he has never fought before in his life, and he is going out, he is criticizing people on their careers, on their performance in these fights. And I can understand situations like the Czech Congo fight where they were just clinching the whole time, and him coming out and saying stuff like, oh, this is the ultimate clinching championships. I get that stuff. That's cool. But, when you go out there and you criticize a Forrest Griffin versus Tito Ortiz and you say they both look old, one of the fucking guys is retiring and the other guy is old.
Right.
Old for a fighter. And if you ever fought in your life, you would know that. So shut up and enjoy it while it lasts. These guys put it all on the line for that fight, and they both fought hard. It was close to a lot of people. I thought Forrest ran away with it, but...
I did too.
They fought their asses off, and screw you, Dana White. Let's see you get in there and be the ultimate fighter on your own and be a fucking fighter, as you would say.
His one opportunity. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's two on these guys. And it's like, you don't even have any fight experience. You just watched. That's where you got it from. You just watched it. And you represented a couple guys in the early days. But it just blows my mind how he criticizes these guys so badly.
Well, he did the whole thing where he was preparing to fight Tito Ortiz, and they were going to do a boxing match a few years ago. I think that was probably back in 2007 or 2008 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he bailed. He backed out.
Yeah. A lot of people forget that, but I remember that whole show that they put together acting like it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, and they build you up and build you up, and it's like, oh, okay. Bummer.
Supposedly it's in the Fertitta Brothers contracts that if they have a disagreement in business, they can hash it out with a Brazilian jiu-jitsu match. No joke. That's like a serious quote from one of them. They said that. So.
Outstanding.
They take their business seriously. But I think Dana White would lose in a boxing match to just about anybody.
Oh, I'd say so. Yeah.
I'm sure he's had a lot of
Another rumor is that Frankie Edgar might drop down to 145 to fight Jose Aldo.
Jose. No, it's Jose. That's right.
Jose.
You can't say Jose anymore, even though that's what they called him for like 4 years.
Right, but he's made a point to let people know. What is he, Brazilian? I don't even know where he is. But anyway, it's Jose. But, yeah, he's kind of hoping. He's not very well-spoken, but it may be just language barrier or something, but he would like to see Frankie Edgar drop down to 145 because he believes that, and he's probably right, that he'll send Frankie Edgar right back out of 145 and down to 135 or back up to 155.
What are you doing, Tom? Well, my cat is meowing to come in. Keep talking.
So I don't see Frankie Edgar winning that fight. You're still playing with your cat.
Sorry about that. That was Tomcat Sawyer.
So
I'm trying to find Lance's number here. That's what I've been waiting for, but can't seem to locate it in the 70 email string.
Well, if you'll hold on a second, I can get that number for you. One moment, please.
But anyway, on the Dana White front, you know, I got to give him credit. He's actually talking about women's MMA in the UFC for once. But I think that's because Lorenzo Fertitta broke the ice on that one first. He was more in favor of it than Dana White. But, you know, the fact that he's never fought in his life and he's criticizing all these guys is just bullshit. He definitely
exactly.
Take a step back and realize that, you know, there's a reason why there's two states out there that won't approve MMA anytime soon. And it's, you know, they're the number one business in the whole game of MMA. And, you know, they just kind of throw away fighters after three losses or, you know, any little thing that they do bad, they're gone. And they give these guys bonuses based on knockouts of the night. While there's guys on the card making $3,000, they fought their ass off on the preliminary. They don't get crap for bonuses. Yeah, and they're selling all these cards to these different networks. You know, some of the stuff is online, but a lot of it's on FX or Fox now. You know, all those networks, Fuel. So, I don't know, it just blows my mind. But Nike just sponsored John Jones, and you can bet the UFC get a big chunk out of that, too. And, don't get me started. Are you still with us, Holly? Hello? I guess you dropped.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here now.
Yay, okay. Sorry about that. Hang on 1 second because I've got Lance's number.
Okay.
Grab the phone, too. Okay, it's 775.
Hold on.
Oh, you know what? Maybe you should put me on some other on pause or something so I don't give this number out on public on the air.
Can you email it to me?
I will.
All right. So, in the meantime, Did you hear about the kid that died after the MMA fight there in South Carolina, wasn't it? Jordan?
I heard you talking about it. Is this the same one you were talking about on the last show?
Yeah.
I heard a little bit about it, but I didn't catch the details of it because I had to turn the volume down because I was trying to get on.
Well, what happened, I heard, is there's another thing that I didn't get to on that whole segment was there's reports from the police that he actually took a Percocet before the fight.
Ooh.
You know, at least one. So if he took multiple Percocets, I can understand, like, the way that they described it. He just kind of stopped defending himself in the second round. So it makes me wonder if, like, the adrenaline dump that he experienced couldn't handle it with the Percocet mixed into his bloodstream. He just went into a spiral.
What on earth could he have been thinking?
I know. It's like the worst thing that you could take before a fight is a muscle relax. I don't know, but...
I don't get that at all. I just don't get that at all.
But it was his first ever fight, too, so...
Oh, wow.
Or anything like that.
And he took a muscle. He had an awesome coach.
Yeah.
Somebody wasn't paying attention.
Box Cat Bandits just sent me an email.
Who?
The Box Cat Bandits.
Who are the Box Cat Bandits?
It's a picture of a cat in a box. Boxcatbandits.org.
Wow. So where is Tony the Tornado tonight? He wasn't going to be part of the show?
No, he's off till Thursday. We have we have three people on the show on Thursday now, so it's a little tough to...
Yeah, I'm very curious about this psychic, this psychic Tom or whatever his name is.
Yeah, he's like the first guy I've had on there that's been both sides of the coin with boxing and MMA. And he wrote a couple articles for me for the circuit out in Vegas, Real MMA, and it's being bankrolled by the people that do this ionized water called Real Water.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's been into ionized water since I was in high school. So I was familiar with the technology and everything, and they're the first people to mass produce it. And they do it out in Arizona, but they have business offices in Vegas. So they decided to invest in this little fight league. So he wrote an article, and then you know, he was asking about the company, and I said, well, we're always looking for an extra voice on the show. We need you on the show. He's like the authoritative guy, you know, because he actually trained a little bit in MMA. He did some tough man stuff. So he sees both sides of the coin well, and he definitely knows MMA a little bit better, but he goes way back in the boxing world, too, with Tony, so it's a good balance. We actually have a little segment we do called TNT. Go after each other, because they're both T's, first names, you know, Tom and Tony.
Sure.
They actually both have the same initials, too, TP, which is weird.
But that's unfortunate. Instead of initials.
And what I usually do is I get, like, you know, every week I have Google alerts for all the different sports, wrestling, boxing, MMA. And so I just go through and I get all the week's news. We talk about that. And if there's an event coming up, we'll preview that. We've gotten so much content in the last few weeks. We've only had time for one guest, but I just set up for the next 3 weeks to have all boxing guests because we haven't had them in a while on the show.
Cool.
But they're pretty big boxers. One of them's Michael Moore, who was in a big fight with George Foreman that I remember. He's the first guy that had a championship belt that lost to George Foreman during George's comeback. And it was in the 10th round, last round of the fight. So that was pretty intense. I remember that fight. I was watching that from home.
I'll have to brush up on my boxing. Or I'll be sitting silently for the next 3 weeks.
It's all right. It's, you know, that's the thing that I keep trying to get Tony and Tom to do more of. I mean, Tony, obviously, he's kind of seeing MMA here and there off the cuff,
yeah.
And so he can make some remarks. But he's always thinking about boxing. He won't be like a true MMA fan. So whenever we're on a tear with all these MMA guests, I always want to be like, Tony, ask a question. Like, put him on the spot.
That's mean.
Sometimes he just sits there. That's his break time. Hey, you know, whatever. He gets used to it.
That's just mean.
No, sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. But he usually has a question. And a lot of these guys like Lance here, they have boxing background, so you know, he wouldn't have trouble finding something to talk about.
Yeah, he would have liked questions.
There's a lot of Lance Foremans out here on Skype. We got Reno, Nevada, Boise, Idaho, Evansville, Indiana.
It'll probably be Reno, Nevada, that one.
Just going to save the number only. Try to.
Did you not get my email?
I got it. It's,
okay.
Skype is taking forever. Yeah. If anybody is out there listening and uses Skype, you have a real popular Facebook page. Do not connect it. That's the worst mistake I made. I wish I could do a rewind on that. It's just lagging.
One of these days, Rich, you're just going to break down and get an actual phone or Vonage or something like that.
Well, that's the funny thing is, like, my dad has a Magic Jack. So if he gets a phone call, it throws me off the show. I need a hard line to this computer because if it's on wireless, that's what really screws things up sometimes. So, but that's the worst thing that happens. All right, we're going to add Lance to our conference call. If this works.
Ready.
And he's living out in Vegas now?
He is. He's been living out there for a couple of years now.
Oh, yeah?
He knows everybody. You should go and visit him.
Yeah, I should have while I was out there.
You're not in Vegas anymore?
No, I got to go back for a big hearing to end everything. But I made a deal so that I could make out any arrangement with the trustee on one of the deals I have left. And then I have one big deal against the Fertitas. I would have to interview people on this end, which I did while I was out there, but it's a big deal, so it's going to take a while to prepare for that and get that ready.
Hello?
Lance, hey, how's it going?
Good, I'm doing better.
We got Hella Holly, as we call her, Dargo, on the phone. This is Rich. Just wanted to talk to you tonight about the MMA scene out there in Vegas where you are. What's it like out there?
It's good. I mean, everybody's kind of fighting for the same dollar a little bit, but it's doing well for us.
Yeah, it's insane. I was out there for a while. I went out there February of 2011. Stayed there November.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I mean, one of the things that really surprised me about the climate out there is that the leaves actually fall off some of the trees. I thought that was...
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely the fight capital. You know, I have five or four fighters right now ready to make their pro debuts. Briggs Foreman, my oldest boy, being one of them, and then I have Connor Shamrock here, Ken's middle son, and I have Brian Lopez, who is Jose Soleil's younger cousin. And me and Jose used to train out of the same gym in Salinas. And I have Drew Davis, Darren Freeman from Fight Lab sent up here from Modesto. He's like 6-1 as an amateur, ready to turn pro. And I have Paige Van Zandt, who started with us when she was 16 in Reno. And she's won 1-0 as a pro and won a ring girl contest for shark fights. And so these five, I actually have these guys from Hollywood that want to start profiling them and shooting a pilot for a reality show starting Thursday. And I'm going to be doing, starting the filming at RYU and Wanderlei Silva's gym. And you know, I have a fighter out there at Wanderlei's, and kind of got the guys spread around until we open our gym September 1st.
Cool.
Yeah, you've been holding out on me. You didn't tell me anything about shooting a pilot.
Well, I kind of, these guys contacted me a couple weeks ago, and I just kind of, you know, we've been pretty busy. I have the Australian promotion we're doing, and we're doing some stuff in South Africa, and I just kind of forgot about it until, you know, I had a Skype meeting with them. There's like a crew of 12 of them, and they'll be here tomorrow. And so I went down to Wanderlei's and got permission to shoot down there and to RYU as well. Because my guys are kind of scattered right now. I got a couple training at Wanderlei's and a couple training with Ron Fraser over there. So, and they're all, you know, cool with, you know, letting us, you know, film over there. So it's going to be great exposure for them. They're going to chronicle their training and you know, see what it's like to turn pro in this business. So, and you know, we have a fight in Australia November 16th, and they're going to follow us over there. And we've also become an affiliate with Tiger Muay Thai out in Phuket, and they just opened a facility in Chiang Mai. Will Elliott let me and my son, my oldest son, and one of my heavyweights, he brought us out there for like 10 days to train, and we became friends. And I saw him at Expo, and he was, you know, kind of interested in having a strong Vegas connection. And, you know, I can bring his guys out here to train, some of his trainers, and then we can do the same for him. So, you know, we've made some headway since I moved here from Reno last year.
Cool. And how did you first get involved in fighting?
I actually started out when PKA was real young and fought in there as a young guy, you know, like 17, 18, and 19, and then kind of ran into some trouble for a few years and switched to boxing. And then I was at Daniel Lujan's gym in Salinas. That's where Daniel Lujan Jr. came up in the ranks, and Jose Sable, boxing team got stationed in Fort Ord for a couple of years, and they came over to the gym and recruited a few of us to be their sparring partners, since they didn't really have anybody but the boxing team. And you know, we went over there thinking we were going to bust those amateurs up, and boy, I had a good surprise with that, because those guys were international champions and great fighters, and the Army headhunted a lot of them from Philadelphia, New Jersey, New York. And I remember the first night I was there, just about beat to hell from those guys. And I asked them, like, why don't you guys turn pro? And they're like, you know, are you kidding me? We don't have any expenses. We make about $100,000 a year, and we'll have to fight three rounds. And I went, that makes sense. So that was a wake-up call. But I had a great time with those guys, learned a lot of, you know, like kind of the East Coast style of boxing, which is, you know, they've been doing it longer than we have out here. You know, I came up in the Mexican gyms more. And there were some great guys and some great doctors. Had a lot of fun with them. Learned a lot, too.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. The Australia you mentioned, there was a show on National Geographic Channel about extreme fighting. They showed a little bit of MMA, but they also showed they actually have boxing tents down there in Australia that go to these traveling parties.
I saw that.
That looks like I would like to do.
Yeah, that was something else, boy. The Australians, you know, I mean, they're gamers, you know, they're sportsmen, and they work hard, and they like to play hard. And they've been really good to us out there. We've done three shows already, and we got the media deal out there. Both my sons have fought and won out there, and both were on TV, and it's hilarious because they got fans out there and people asking for their autographs, and you know, seeing their faces turn red, you know, in embarrassment when that happened is worth the trip. you know, I took Dave Manzani from Wanderlei's team. He fights for Dog Boxer as well, and he's actually 155, and we bulked him up and went out there and won the middleweight championship. And then the second time we went out there, I took David Hewlett out of Throwdown, and he beat Xavier Lucas for the welterweight championship. And then Dave fought the New Zealand middleweight champion and knocked him out in the first round. So we've been having a lot of fun doing that out there. We're we've fought five times and won four of them. So, and then I've actually picked up a couple guys for the dog boxer team. I got Sam Blythe, who was a Olympic silver medalist at the last Olympics. Really nice kid and just a natural MMA fighter. We fought him out there on the last show, and he did really well. I'm going to bring him out here for a while. And I picked up Rob Taldrill, who's a Muay Thai champion out there, who's transitioning to MMA now. He's won a couple of fights. He's lost a couple of fights. I mean, he definitely won for the cage, but he is quite the character. And then we're working with Xavier Lucas out there, who's on the Ultimate Fighter show right now out there in Australia. So it's been pretty exciting for us.
So dog boxers, you guys have been everywhere. You guys have been in Thailand and Australia and
South Africa and Mexico. Yeah. Well, you know, the last few years at the Lions Den, you know, we fought Cam with Pedro Hizo out in Australia, and we fought him in South Africa, and you know, kind of doing the international thing. And I just had, you know, made a lot of good friends out there, and MMA is growing out there, so I just kind of kept it going. And, you know, I've been out there as dog boxer the last, 2 years, so it's been working out pretty good. And then, you know, they all like to be tied into Las Vegas, and, you know, Las Vegas has been really good to us. You know, a lot of people helped me with the dog boxer and my team and, you know, stuff like that, letting us use their facilities, and everybody's been really great. So
do you sponsor boxers too, or is it just a name?
No, I don't really sponsor any fighter except my own. You know, I've kind of gotten to, you know, just training a core group, you know, training myself, and then, you know, we're starting to manage some fighters under the dog boxer management, and just kind of going that route. We kind of have, you know, the dog boxing style, is a real aggressive style, a lot of, you know, a Mexican style mixed with a Muay Thai, so to say, real strong on clinches, knees, and elbows, and, you know, it's worked pretty good. I've won a lot more fights than I've lost the last few years, so, and it's really good for the grapplers to get good at striking, and, you know, kind of flip some pro boxers into MMA using it and getting them comfortable with different things. But in Reno, I had a couple boxers, a couple guys who turned pro, and both my kids did a lot of amateur boxing there. We were involved with USA Boxing there, but since I've been here, I haven't done too much of the boxing. We fought for the Lane brothers out there, Terry and Tommy, both really good guys, and you know, took guys on their shows quite a bit when I was in Reno.
I interviewed them way back when Fight News Unlimited was just a little MySpace page.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I talked to them, and we had a really great call, and I did a good interview off of it, written piece.
Yeah, I love those guys. I'm actually trying to find a boxer for them right now. I guess they had somebody drop out on the Fallon show next weekend, so I made a couple calls for them. You know, they've always been real good to the dog boxers, so I want to repay the favors.
I was really kicking myself because for some reason they ended up coming to the place where I grew up in Dorchester, Massachusetts, outside of Boston, to do a fight card. All the way from Reno, they came out this one time, and I didn't realize until after the fact.
Oh, no.
I realized that I was looking at the card, and I see this kid's name, and it was his nickname was the Italian Zuka. He was, his last name was Luca. So instead of the Italian Stallion, he was the Italian Bazooka DeLuca.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
and I couldn't believe they came all the way to Dorchester, Massachusetts.
Yeah, and I got to hand it to those guys too. You know, they run a quality show, and they do their fighters and everybody right. You know, they're definitely some stand-up guys. They learned well from their father, I would assume, Mills Lane. So. But they were a pleasure to work for. We've been on quite a few of their shows. I actually made their first MMA card for them when they mixed it with the boxing, and it was out there in Fallon. And yeah, I don't think they've been doing too much of that lately. But the MMA climate in Reno is not too good anymore, so I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, what's that like dealing with some of the politics of the different areas and how they handle it in different countries and states and stuff?
Well, overseas is, I mean, you know, in South Africa and Australia both, and even Mexico somewhat. Mexico probably has a little stronger athletic commission towards MMA than Australia and South Africa. But, I mean, they were great to work with. You know, they seemed to have the right motives, and they weren't looking to, you know, get a whole bunch of tickets and payments and stuff. They wanted to run a good show, and they were open to suggestions, and they work with us really well, both South Africa and Australia. And we were able to pull off some really good shows in both countries, and the fighters were happy, and they're, you know, constantly asking us to come back. So, and I stay in touch with some of them now, and they're looking to, they want to be like here in America, where everything's, you know, running a tight ship and whatnot. But the politics in South Africa can get a little squirrely if you're on the wrong end of it. But luckily, we're always on the right end of it. So, definitely could be a journey if you don't have the right friends, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. One of my favorite boxing books ever growing up was The Power of One. They made a movie out of it, but it wasn't really much like the book. It was a little bit like
movie. Yeah.
It was based on South Africa, and I never really knew how crazy the history was with the wars down there and apartheid and everything.
Yeah.
It,
and some of the poverty, you know, I mean, we took Ken there to, you know, meet people, and it was kind of strange because in a lot of these real poor areas, they would have, like a recreation type place for kids, you know. There's probably not a kid in the United States who could walk into it, but for them, it was a haven, and they would watch old reruns of the, you know, the big time wrestling, and they would see Ken, and they, you know, and they just adored him. And we took him there. We had all these people running up and knowing who he was, and we were shocked. Like, how the heck they know who Ken Shamrock is? And I mean, they literally lived in mud houses, you know, and they were lucky to get rice every day. It was a pretty sad ordeal, but they were very, you know, good spirited and big hearted. And a lot of them, if they want to go to school, they literally got to walk 10 miles to go to school, no joke. Xavier Lucas, our guy in Australia, is from South Africa, and he came up that way. And it's definitely a sight to see, but they're very appreciative of anything you do for them, or just, you know, give them a little bit of time, and they just really, they're hungry, you know, in lots of ways other than food.
Yeah, supposedly they're bringing the heavyweight boxing back to South Africa soon, too. I just read that Ray Mercer and Evander Holyfield are trying to set up a fight down there.
Yeah, I heard that, too, boy. And you know, from what I hear, I have a really good friend that's pretty high up in the WBU out there. And boy, he's got some stories to tell. And from the way it sounds, they're pretty much in disarray right now. And I don't think any of the real boxing guys are real happy about it, but they tell me the politics is just insane right now. I mean, so much so that they're willing to send fighters out here for a little more than a plane ticket to fight anybody, anywhere, in any show, you know, just to stay fighting and keep going, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of, I hate to see that, you know, in boxing for sure.
Yeah, I love it when I look at the box rec records. I'm saying that sarcastically, but when I look at the records and I see a guy, he must be a prince or something in his homeland, because he's like 40-2 and he's fighting the guy who's like 0-17.
Yeah, I know, Rich. It's bad.
Event.
Last July, I cornered a boxer at a show at the Cosmopolitan here in Las Vegas, and they called me up because his corners didn't show or something, and it was on ESPN. When I got there, I looked at the card, and I picked every winner of every fight, and I didn't know a single guy there. It was like, you know, I was like, dang, boy, a matchmaker made some easy money on that one.
Yeah, I went to a couple shows at the Cosmo with the ESPN crew, actually. They were out on the pool deck that one time. Pretty interesting. It was too windy.
Yeah.
I went to that show and I actually got an interview with Teddy Atlas.
Teddy's at this one too.
Yeah, he was like in rare form getting back from the Olympics recently when he just did the last Friday night fights. It was so funny because he was talking actually like, you know, in metaphors. He kept talking like one of the best ones was, oh, this guy is like the ocean moving along. Just punching him, swarming him with punches. Just moving the log slowly.
I got to tell you, I love his interviews, man. He is a character, boy. That's for darn sure. He has some good interviews.
Cosmopolitan is like the newest hotel in Las Vegas, too, so they definitely
operate
pretty well.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've seen Carlos Molina in action. They just threw him up on the Friday Night Fights last weekend.
Oh, did they really?
He had a great fight. Nobody I never ever heard of was, you know, didn't give him much of a challenge, but he won all 10 rounds against this guy. And I seen him get screwed against Arislandi Lara at one of those, the first Cosmopolitan show I went to out there. But, you know, anywhere you go, you can find a fight going every weekend. Vegas pretty much.
Yeah.
There's MMA and boxing. I thought that was kind of impressive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't even, I'm so busy in MMA, I don't even follow boxing anymore. Just don't have the time, you know. And every now and then I got asked to go to help corner a guy at Texas Station. It was only a couple of weeks ago, and it was kind of short notice, and I couldn't make it. You know, I kind of wish I would have, because there was a lot of people that I haven't seen in a while, but... You know, they don't advertise them much here, it doesn't seem like. It's like, I always find out after the fact or the night of or something like that.
You always get the alerts for that for some reason. I mean, I have kind of a history of going against the Fertittas in court, but they, you know, they own Station Casinos and the USC, and I still cover all the stuff that they do. So I always get good alerts on that. Whenever that comes up, especially when it's on ESPN.
Yeah. Well, Vegas is definitely a place to be if you're in the fight business. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. It's a nice place to train, too, because it never gets cold.
No. I like that part, man. I froze to death in Reno. I don't have an ancestor above Oklahoma, so I don't have that cold in my DNA. And I froze there 7-8 months out of the year. Boy, I could hardly walk half the time, so I was glad to get down here. I lived here in the early 80s and trained here for about a year and a half, and I actually was at the Holmes and Cooney fight in at Caesar's Palace. You know, I was really young, about just barely 20, but, you know, I'm glad to be back, and I love the weather. And it is good for training, you know, the heat, and we can go up to Mount Charleston for the elevation, and, you know, desert's a tough place, and it's a, you know, I did a lot of conditioning out at UNLV this year with all the guys, and when we get them in the gym, and they don't get tired too easy, so it worked pretty well.
Yeah. One thing that's kind of cool about Vegas is you can find, like, every single business that was ever created out there, like, every restaurant, every store.
Oh, I know. You know, you take a wrong turn somewhere. You take a wrong turn around here, and you're like, it's like a whole new town. You know, like you didn't even know it existed. I mean, when I lived here in the early 80s, it was not, I mean, it was maybe a tenth of the size it is now. It's just, you know, I used to know it like the back of my hand, and now, boy, you get lost really if you're not careful.
Yeah,
so Lance, you've got some stuff coming up in September. Is that something that you can talk about?
Yeah, it's September 29th. There's a pro show here in Las Vegas, and I'm looking to turn my son and Drew Davis their pro debuts on that, and then fight Paige VanZant for her second pro fight. And that's something we're doing in partnership with the One Fight team. And I believe we're going to be fighting Randy Couture's team. And I'm waiting on, you know, just making the fights right now and waiting on confirmation for that. The date is set in stone. We just haven't locked in. I don't think anybody's locked in any fights yet. So that's kind of what they're working on now. And then there's another one going to be in California with the same promotion, I think a month later, October 29th or 28th or something like that. And for the life of me, I can't remember the name of the promotion. There's so many of them, it seems like they run together. But, you know, that it, I know they'll be advertising it. It's, you know, it's a pretty decent show, all pro.
Well, just so you know, I'm going to be at that September 29th show.
I know. I was down at Bonnerlea tonight, and, you know, no matches have been made yet, but I would imagine probably by next week we'll start getting, you know, confirmation on stuff, just kind of, they're throwing out opponents and whatnot. And they have a couple pro debuters too, so we'll be looking to tack some ass that night for sure.
I'm excited about Briggs going pro. I mean, I met him in 2007, I think, at a Ken Shamrock production fight.
And, yeah.
And he was maybe, 15 or something at the 15 or 16 at that time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited for him that he's going pro. He's been doing really well as an amateur.
Yeah, he has. He's 6-1.